You're listening to the Power Word Gold Podcast, bringing you the latest tips, tricks, and strategies for making gold in World of Warcraft. I'm your host, Flux, and now, on with the show! Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power Gold Podcast, episode number 23. It is Tuesday, the 6th of December, 2011. I'm your host, Flux, along with my co-host, Gimp.
Hello.
And we are going to just go right ahead and kick this off. No sense in wasting time. We got called to auction back in the house. Always.
Beat them.
I was almost caught up. 22 episodes, and they had 26, and I had a year to catch up to them. and then there's a tweet today. Oh, we're back. So welcome back, Euripides and Fox Van Allen, to the Call to Auction podcast. I don't even know what their URL is.
Link in the notes.
Yeah, link in the notes. I tweeted it. Anyways, you can find Call to Auction. Here it is, calltoauction.blogspot.com. And you can listen to their episode. It's pretty good. I liked it. I got about halfway through it and decided I got to get up and make a podcast. I bugged Gimp, even though he's sick. So
I got nerfed. The patch nerfed me.
Let's go ahead and start off with how people can get a hold of us. Gimp, do you want to let people know who you are and how people can get a hold of you?
Yep, I run the blog gimpsgold.com. You can catch me by either tweeting me, which is just gimpsgold, or emailing me gimp@gimpsgold.com. The site is a bit quiet at the moment, but I promise there is a reason for this, and it will be massive. Two secret projects. Mm. Was one, but I've never kind of talked him into a second one.
We talked about that a little earlier today. Me and Nev did, but I won't tell what the secret is. And I am Flux from the blog Power Word Gold. You can find us at poweredgold.net, Twitter @PowerGold, Facebook.com/PowerWordGold, and Reddit.com/r/WildGoldMaking, and how else? Google Plus, and YouTube, and I think I'm missing one. No, iTunes, which you might already be listening to because you're on our podcast. Let's go ahead and jump into it. Patch day has come. Happy patch day.
Go watch that video if you haven't, people.
I feel so broken. I think I'm going to cry.
Anyway.
All right, patch day. Patch 4.3 came out this last Friday. No, Tuesday.
Tuesday,
so a month ago, and man, I think this is the biggest patch that I've ever been involved in.
It came on the worst day possible. I hate it. Blizzard releasing things early. I had work in the day, and then I had to pick family up from airport, so I only got 2 hours of patch day madness in.
Last patch day, actually, we were hanging out together too. I was over on your server.
Listening to me scream.
Yeah, listening to you scream about it. But this patch day, yeah, I personally was tweeting and twittering and recording and writing and basically blogging almost the whole entire day. The mega post. If you want to see that, go over to Powered Gold and you can find the patch 4.3 mega post, which is basically tweets and chats from Consortium and basically everything that happened on patch day. So that's what I was doing for a lot of it, and just basically running around and like being like, oh, transmog here, oh, what's there. So I didn't get a chance to buckle down like a lot of people that weren't trying to basically make a somewhat interesting record of the day for the gold making community. But it was a good day. But actually, as the week's gone by, I've been actually able to settle more in, and especially this weekend, to get into the patch. So let's go ahead and jump into some of the things that we've noticed since patch 4.3. And the biggest one that we've been chatting about, it's been popping up like popcorn on Twitter, is transmogrification and its effect on gold making. Now, to give a little history on this, I have to actually say that when I first heard about transmogrification, I have to admit that I was, I think, one of the only gold making blogs out there that was kind of seeing the potential that could be involved in selling these
items.
Yeah, I
was a bit cynical myself.
I think, you know, and honestly, the reality was so much more than what I had originally thought, but there was a post by a guy named Keelhaul, or not a post, but a comment by a guy named Keelhaul at the time when I was talking about this, and he was going into more detail about the looks of armor and that kind of stuff, and he actually ended up doing some guest posts for us and then ended up creating the blog DE Azeroth, which is still up there if you want to go see that. But he ended up going through all the different looks and analyzing them and breaking them down and that kind of thing. But he had stopped his blog, but had because he had a little child and it was taking up a lot of his time, but he was still able to kind of go through and pick up a lot of these sets. But I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. So transmogrification has been an absolute gobsmacking success as far as gold making
and
is concerned.
The best thing about it is it's something completely new. It's not just a new take on an old method. It is literally such a new idea.
It is. I had about 20 or 30 items saved up from what Keelhaul had told me, and once I realized that this was going to happen, I started squirreling away items like Aegeus of Stormwind and Warforged, Crystalforged War Axe, and some of these great looking items that at the time were pretty much, what, 60 gold or 50 gold or something. You know, they were worthless because there was absolutely no reason to use these items other than maybe, oh, I'm going to walk around the city and I'm going to look cool, which, you know, maybe on a role-playing server was it. But I'm just going to go ahead and turn the time over to you, Gimp, to let you talk about kind of what you've experienced with sales for transmogrification since the patch came out.
I haven't sold a great deal because I haven't been on a great deal because I'm sick and I had family down. Sorts, but I had a few items that I picked up just because they were items that I liked and I thought they'd sell, like Aegis of Stormwind. I've got four of those, sold one at 1,000 gold already. Imperial plate set, I have it on my warrior. I've got my warrior kitted out to look like a Stormwind guard, and I've been standing around kind of barking and trying to sell that, selling it at like 100 to 200 gold a piece when it cost me about 10 gold to make.
Oh, what's that set called?
Imperial plate set. It's literally just you have to use Forium to get the patterns from a guy in Tanaris. I don't know if that's changed. I did this back in TBC. I got mm-hmm. the gear because my warrior has always been my little kind of role play. I've got loads of sets on it, and the one that has made me angry though is the fact that Scarlet set can't be used by plate wearers, even though prior to 40 that's who it's for. It's for warriors. Mm-hmm. It's all strength.
Yeah.
But I've been selling like the BOE Scarlet stuff on the auction house that I picked up cheap. It's only the really obvious sets that I've been getting, but my auction house is empty. That to try and even flip stuff is impossible. My auction house is literally empty of gear. The second you search for anything, like if I go online now, weapons, there's normally about 20 pages of weapons.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 5 pages, and most of them are level 85 epics that people are crafting.
Yeah. The exact same thing is true for me. I've been, obviously, I've been doing my own transmogging, and I'll be like, oh, I need a one-handed axe, or, you know, my hunter, I just need to look at a little bit better looking polearm. So I'll go through and I'll be like, man, there's like nothing on the auction house. There's like no two-handed axes. There's no one-handed axes, you know, or one page. I barely go over one page in the default interface for these. And I'm just like, man, there is. And now I can understand why I've been selling some of these items I'd saved, like the Crystal Forge War Axe, and I sold a... I don't know what the name of it was, but it basically has a one-handed axe that has kind of a flame effect on the blade. I sold that for like 3,000. I sold even a Tremendous Tankard of Terror for 2,500 today. So it's like, I think everyone that's transmogging is doing the same thing I'm doing, and the easiest place to go is to look on the auction house, and if you like the way it looks and it matches what you're looking for, you're not going to care that it is 250 gold, or, you know, if it's especially kind of rare looking, you don't care that it's 5,000 gold. If it's the piece that completes your set, the price becomes very immaterial. And I've noticed that any good looking piece, no matter if it's level 40 or level 60 or level whatever, is always at least worth 250 gold.
And it'll sell. It'll always sell, no matter what price you put it at, because someone will buy it that can afford it, because they know they can use it repeatedly.
Yes.
It's not like buying a new item to get into a raid, because you're buying that item to get into the raid to get a better item. You can use this item over and over again, so it's just going to sell. So don't short price your stuff. Mm. Even if it takes a week to sell it, put it on a high price, because you can only sell it once to that one person.
Yeah,
it's not like a gem or an enchant where they'll need more in the future.
Yeah, as soon as the first day sales started coming in, I took all my items and ended up boosting them all up to about 1,700 gold. And then since then, I've been selling over the weekend this transmog items, and I've been able to gauge a little bit better. I kind of gauge the price based on the look. Like, if it looks like it would be something that someone's going to like, I'll put it at 2,000. If it looks like it's something that, this looks all right, then I might put it at 300.
The one thing I would say to people as well is don't underestimate simple looking items. People are putting loads of massive premiums on all these looking items. Mm-hmm. I can't think of examples at the moment, but personally, my personal taste,
Skull
I love
flame shield.
Yeah, things like that. Like, I love Skull Flame Shield. I've got it on my paladin from when I used to boost people, but I love simple looking gear.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of gear I'm picking up for my characters at like 5-10 gold that I would happily have paid 100 gold, mm-hmm. 200 gold for, I'm loving it. Like, everyone's looking at these complicated things, and I'm coming along going, I'll have that, 5 gold, 5 gold.
Uh-huh.
And I'm getting 10 sets per character for the same price most people are paying for one.
Yeah.
Because people are underestimating the sets.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a few items that are of the same set, put them up for a higher price.
Uh-huh.
Because they work together. If you've got one item, it might not sell.
Yeah, my base price for almost every item now, like I said, is 250 gold. So what I've actually started doing is I use the add-on called Mogit, M-O-G-I-T, Mogit, and it allows you to have a setting where you can auto-preview. It automatically brings up a preview window of items, and I've been going through two-handed axes, two-handed maces, two-handed swords, pole arms, guns, bows, crossbows, plate headpieces, plate shoulders, cloth headpieces, cloth shoulders, and I actually do leather and mail as well. And anything that looks interesting, I'll just pluck it out and repost it up. So, for example, I was looking through the pole arms. I'm like, okay. And by now, I've started like memorizing like the icons. Like, I kind of know, okay, these are all Cataclysm ones. They're all kind of ugly. This is this. This is this. But like, there was one called. This wasn't the banner slicer, but it was one that was. It was a pole arm that kind of had this angled blade that kind of went out and then back down onto the handle.
Kind of like a triangle.
Yeah, but just on one edge.
Yeah, I saw that one.
It's brown, kind of a rust color brown, and I thought it looked fantastic, and I've noticed that for...
I snapped one of them up.
For druids and for hunters, pole arms are a big majority of the items you're going to be having, and even some death knights. So, and the selection is just very... terrible, especially if you don't want to have something that looks like Cataclysm. Yeah, so that one, there was one called the Banner Slicer, which I had a long time ago, where I haven't found that one again. But anything that looks even halfway unique, it's just one of those things where my whole view of how to sell these items has completely changed. And like you said, it's not even just the greatest looking items. There was some items like any plate helmet that has like Roman style thing on the top, or like that looks like any kind of military I don't know what the thing that's on the top that kind of swoops back, the ponytail, I guess you could say, on the top of the plate helmets. Those look fantastic. So, you know, those are great. And I've just been, it's just, yeah, it's amazing so far. Speaking of transmogrification, I've just been informed that we have in the house, in the studio, the girl with the boyfriend who is the worst dressed character in all of World of Warcraft.
Yes, he's very proud of his set.
Fade, welcome Fade to the show. We're glad you're able to join us a few minutes late, but not your fault.
Yeah, so, 1 a.m. podcasts are the best podcasts.
Yeah, yeah, podcasts, because Call to Auction podcast started up again. Jerks, episode number 27, jerks. Now that means that I have to make more episodes, so we're doing it. We got to do it now. Fade.
episode every hour on the hour. Let's go.
Episode seven podcasts in 1 week. Go. We'll just chop this one up into like five like 20-minute podcasts, like our friends at the Mana Cooler, and we'll catch up to them real quick.
So instead of it being a gold cast, it'll be a silver cast.
So Fade, do you want to tell people how they can get a hold of you since you're coming in here now?
Sure thing. I'm Fade. I write the blog nerffades.blogspot.com. That's with two Fs. I'm Fadetastic on Twitter. It's like fantastic, but with Fade. But Fade is spelled differently. So at the end of the day, just go to the blog directory and I'm on there. Or I'm sure it will be in the show notes.
It will. It will be.
Remember, Fade is one letter away from foul.
It is. And it's also die in a fire backwards. So that's pretty fun. We won't go into that. That's probably not podcast appropriate.
I'll be the judge of what's podcast appropriate.
Well, then I'll say it and you can edit it out if you want. But my shaman...
And iTunes completely downs the podcast.
I didn't realize until after I'd created it that my shaman's name was one letter off from anal. Because her name was Axel. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn it. After I realized that, like a year later. So.
Axel. A-X-A-L.
I changed its name, worse, and it's also a dwarf now.
I don't know if you listen to Girls Gone Wild. Girls Gone Wow, even.
No.
Oops. I joined their guild, and it's a role-playing server, and I made a little backstory for my character, and it was called Fletcher. So I've got this Death Knight, Worgen, and I type in Fetcher instead of Fletcher. So I'm now on a role-playing server with a wolf called Fetcher, as in Go Fetch a Stick.
Nice.
I get told off quite often.
All right, Fade. Well, just to bring you up to speed, me and Gimp have been speaking of the marvels of the transmogrification market, as you've probably seen on the Twitter sphere. And speaking of the Twitter sphere, for those of you who are listening to this podcast who don't know about the Twitters,
Twitters on the interwebs.
Yes, and the Facebooks. The Twitter is such a fantastic way to get gold-making information. While our blog posts might come out a couple times a week and whatnot, on any given day, you'll find people on Twitter talking about gold-making. And one of the topics that's been pretty popular has been selling transmogrification items. I've had some success selling some pretty crazy items for some pretty ridiculous prices, and me and Gimp were just discussing how almost any item nowadays, at least for me, my baseline price on a good looking item is 250 gold grand, just as the starting point, going up from there up to 500 to 700 and even up to 2,000 or 3,000 gold for like the one axe I sold that was I wish I knew the name of the axe, but it was a one-headed axe that had a flame effect on it. And
push your luck. That's my advice. Push your luck.
Push your luck, exactly. Don't underestimate how much people are going to be willing to pay.
Honestly, a lot of people on my server have gotten really lucky selling stuff to me because I didn't really prepare for transmog. I didn't go out and farm my sets. So I was like, okay, what would look good on this character? And I ran to the auction house and I was just buying up stuff crazy.
Yeah. If you're a conservative pricer, whatever you would think it's worth, double it. And then you should really double it again. because like we were saying, it's kind of one of those things where if I'm looking for a belt that matches my outfit, I will look through every single belt on the auction house, and usually there's one, maybe two belts that look really good on that one particular outfit. It might be the color, it might be just the right texture, but I'm willing to spend whatever usually it takes.
Especially if it's the last piece I need. Things that people forget, braces, belts, gloves, the things that people think of, chests, helms, boots, legs, the big kind of in-your-face bits. Those little things, they're the ones that will sell because they'll bring the set together. They'll be that last little finishing touch.
Yeah, and like Gimp said earlier, it's not always the flashy stuff. I mean, what I call mog down a lot of items where I'll have some set of daggers or some sword that's just out of control that I just wanted something a little bit more subtle, especially if my outfit's a little bit more subtle and refined, more simple. I'll want something that's more simple. So even the simple stuff.
Warrior's first sword was a level 5 sword. That was what I transmogged to, just a plain, simple, real blade, nothing special about it, sword.
I know a lot of people who have done that. They just want simple sets. Like, I know a lot of people who didn't do flashy stuff. So, like, there's, like, for example, there's a gray staff that drops in Cata Dungeons, like, Robble's Wobbly Staff or something like that. And I know people who were trying to buy those. But they're grays. You'd probably have vendored them a million times. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of weird demand nowadays.
Yeah. I would say for anybody out there who is wanting to get into this market, your best tools are going to be having the Mogget add-on installed, because what you'll be able to do then is go down the auction house page and scroll your mouse over it and look at all the different items. And this is especially good for weapons, shoulders, heads, things that you can see fairly quickly, but other items as well. And there's still a lot of people that are out leveling their characters. They just come in and throwing their stuff up on the auction house that don't know the difference in value. It's very similar to the 77 to 80 market that I actually had experience with, and I Twittered to you, Gimp. I spent apparently the jig is up on the 77 to 80 green items, because on my server, on our horde side, there's one guy who has every single item that's between 77 to 85 for 250 and to 300 gold.
That would be me on my server.
So, and we bought about 5 or 6 of those items so that my wife's character, who is level 82, could start queuing for, or that was, well, 80, could start queuing for the new Cataclysm dungeons.
Yeah, so. I just spent about 3,000 gold on crappy greens just so that I could queue with my mage that just hit Cataclysm. If you leveled with heirlooms, you need 2 trinkets, you need a chest piece, you need a weapon, and you need shoulders.
Yeah.
So.
And yeah. The headpiece and the back don't count either. So you still need those items if you're going to start queuing. Mm-hmm. So you run into those at 77 to 80, and then the new one that we can talk about actually now is the market for boosting your item level up to 372. I've had experience with this in the last couple days. I started off with my hunter, boosting him up. He was probably around 358, 360, I would want to say. Like, he had done just what was only available, which was a few, Justice Point, Valor Point stuff, and then just ZA stuff. So I would say I spent probably about 5,000 gold or so.
Method to kind of maximize your sales for this market as well, and that's sell the PvP gear, mm-hmm. because people are going to be buying it for 2 reasons. 1, the high eye level, and 2, PvP.
Yeah.
So you've got 2 markets to sell to there.
If you're someone who's buying this stuff, like I was, buy the cloth pieces. Even if you're if it's a plate wearer, you can just have them in your bags. They'll boost your item level, and then
and
you can move them onto your next belt.
As well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a few other kind of tips that I ran into was there's a throwing weapon that's selling for between 400 to 800 gold. That's 378. That's nobody really wants.
Something fawn or something. Or yeah. There's about 20 of them on the auction.
Yeah, yep. If you have a like a warrior or a rogue or a hunter that can use those.
Forms of the Dying Day, there's a name for you.
If you need a single-hand weapon, start looking for the tremendous Tankard of Terrors starting to come back on the auction house like I talked about earlier. Those are from Brewfest, and some of us saved those up, and they can be had. Earlier this weekend they were going for still around 500, but now they started going for a couple thousand. I think a lot of people are realizing that they're 365 item level, which if you have a lower level weapon, they actually help boost it up there too. And then the BOE epics that are starting to drop. There's a lot of these kind of male ones and a few other ones, and people are converting their valor points into the bracers and the boots and selling those on the auction house. And the thing to remember about boosting your item level, of course I'm talking about it from a buyer's perspective, but that these items can then, after you've got your replacement items, can just be sold back on the auction house. Or in my case, I transfer them to a different character. Like, I want to do the Looking for Dungeon, so I'll give him. Then I want to do Looking for Dungeon on my other character, or Looking for Raid, I'll transfer a few of them over to that. And me and my wife are, trading them.
One of those
them,
item level cheaters. We're not grouping together ever again.
Me and my wife are trading item pieces, like baseball cards. Like, okay, give me that item. Okay, no, that dropped me down to 371. Okay, give me this one. Okay, give me that one. Okay, and by the end of the night, after running one Looking for Raid and one set of the five mans, she had pretty much replaced all the items I had given her, and it's pretty easy to get there. But the Looking for Raid, so going back to what you were saying, Gimp,
one to watch as well is actually the crafting rings, because the agility one is really, really cheap to make.
Yeah.
It's ridiculously cheap to make.
Yeah.
And if there's no one on your auction house making them, you'll probably clean up. Especially if you've got a jewel crafter who's doing the shuffle anyway, because you'll have a ton of gems laying around. And
the vicious amber jewel something or others. There was one.
Something
that was
like
one of
the
ones
I
saw. Yeah, the neck piece. It's pretty much the neck piece and the rings for PvP, the cloth items for PvP, sometimes the mail, but they tend to get a little bit more expensive. And then, basically just go through the auction house. And if you're selling those are the items that you'll wanting to be like. I was paying 200 to 300 gold for those rings and those necklaces, and I don't even know what the materials are. I've just been spending money. I've been making money, but I've just been spending money. I think a lot of people are kind of in that, oh, I got to hurry up and catch up, because there's especially a lot of people like me who are lapsed raiders, or people that raided in TBC, raided in Naxxramas, some of Old War, but didn't, at least I didn't really go much past that. So I'm kind of the casual raider, and I think the Looking for Raid tool,
it's aimed at you.
It yeah, exactly. And now I have to admit that the Looking for Raid tool is a little bit more brain dead than I had imagined it would be. It's kind of like, I like pew pewing, but not having to think about anything and pew pewing for 10 minutes per boss, and just, it's kind of fun. Unfortunately for my wife's computer, it doesn't really run very well. She was getting like one frame per second when we were doing it tonight. But
yeah, especially on Morchok, they put so much trash around him that isn't even necessary that it lags a lot of people's computers out pretty bad.
Yeah, plus you got 25 people spell effects going off, and it goes, and then they got, all the...
I wouldn't be surprised if they put a 10-man version in at some point.
It'd just be harder to queue for, because with 25 people, that's like, 17 DPS spots that they get to fill for every two tanks. Well, if you go into tank, it's like,
yeah, but
or 10 men, it's 5 per 2.
If you think Blizzard's ethos with the Warcraft was make it accessible to everyone, like the lower graphic ability and the lower specs your computers run it on, so I'd be very surprised if they didn't think, okay, we can put this as a 10-man and allow people with those even lower spec computers that are struggling
computer
to have a look.
It's a little older, but it's not really a slouch. I mean, she could do every single other thing in the game. So I think we're just gonna have to keep playing with the graphic settings. But
put everything on minimum.
Yeah.
About the item level cheating, before we go too far away from that, really quick, one tip that I accidentally fell for as a buyer. So I want to, I'm sure there's people out there who are as stupid as I am. If you buy Justice Point bracers, especially some of the ones that like the male shaman bracers, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They I bought them for 4,000 gold on patch day because I thought they were a new BOE because they have the same item level as the BOEs that drop in the dungeons. And so if you buy a piece, like if you look on the auction house and there's no Justice Point bracers of that type and you buy a piece, you might be able to sell it for quite a bit on the auction house if people are as dumb as I was. So, because I mean, like I picked up a character I hadn't played in like a year and needed to gear it up really quick. So I wasn't familiar with what the different gear was in Firelands for it. So that's something, if you really need to liquidate Justice Points and you don't want to do boots or Wrath Epic Gems, that's probably something you could do.
The one thing I did notice, I picked up an offhand that was like some goblet or some cup, or I don't know, it's something, and for 5,000, and since that was the only one on the auction house, I'll probably be trying to flip that back around. Hopefully there won't be too many BOE of the offhands showing up, but
it was probably the offhand off of Shanix. I think that's BOE on normal mode.
Okay. Yeah. My wife needed it for her shaman. So, and also you can buy two of the same rings and that raises your item level. There's a lot of things to do to just get you up because literally it only takes one or two runs through the dungeons to really get your gear set back up again to where you don't need any of those cheaters and you can send it off to the other one. So, as far as making gold off of people that want to increase their item level, Gimp, what would be your best advice for people?
For selling or buying?
If you're wanting to make money from people, all these people trying to get their item level up to 372.
Because you can buy it to stick in your bags for the item level, and you can sell it for people that are buying it for the actual PvP new season, which is starting
tomorrow.
Well, Wednesday for EU people.
What about you, Fade? What would be your advice for someone looking to make a little bit of money off of that?
Exact same. PvP gear is so easy to make. It's relatively cheap, so it's accessible for everyone. But everyone wants to boost their alt item levels. I think PvP gear is the way to go.
And watch the cross faction on PvP gear, especially if you've got an imbalance of Horde to Alliance or Alliance to Horde. One of my servers at the moment, I can pick up the gear on Alliance side because it's massively populated at 150 gold a pop for each of the blue PvP items, and I can sell it for 400 on the other side, which if I could craft it and trade it over would be even higher profits. But I haven't got the crafters on that server.
That's really good. Now if it was me, I would say you guys are probably hitting the nail on the head. The cloth, well, not everybody wants to buy cloth because some people want to actually have the PvP gear to use. So if you do the math and you think that you're able to sell, because it's like the higher the armor value, the more the items cost. Like the cloth ones are costing, at least me, were like 200 to 400, but the mail was always 900 and the plate seemed like it was that as well. So,
well, that's because cloth you don't need a gathering profession for. Everyone's out there gathering cloth, not everyone's out there gathering skins and ore.
Okay, I see what you're saying. All right, well, let's move on to another few tidbits that we wanted to talk about from this new patch. So let's go ahead and talk about Maelstrom Shatter. Gimp, do you want to talk a little bit about Maelstrom Shatter?
Yeah, basically, again, this was another little tip that I initially didn't think of but picked up when I was in the Consortium IRC channel, which is a brilliant place for gold makers. People were basically looking at the prices of their Maelstrom Crystals versus the Heavenly Shards, and there was a massive, massive difference in a way that you could shatter crystals into shards, put them straight back up on the auction house, and double your money in a lot of cases. A lot of servers, mine unfortunately, have got clever to this, and it's not so good anymore. But if you check your auction house and the prices for two Heavenly Shards is more than one Maelstrom Crystal, then you can simply buy them, shatter them, and sell them and make a huge profit in some cases.
And you can have the chance to proc extras if you have bountiful bags, right?
I don't know, to be honest. I haven't seen it. But I didn't do too many of it because my auction house caught up with the trick straight away. Fate confirmed it.
Yeah, I've shattered probably 100 or so Maelstrom Crystals, and it's kind of like I was curious because you can, in BC, there's a recipe to take large prismatic smalls and vice versa. It's basically the concept of you're not disenchanting something, you're making something, if that makes sense. It's like you're taking a maelstrom and making two heavenly shards with it. You're not disenchanting the crystal. And so that's why I can't proc from bountiful bags.
Oh, so it can't.
It cannot. That's correct.
Oh, okay.
I
So
didn't
that
think it
answers
would
the
let you,
question.
to be honest, because that would be too easy.
So it's like a conversion, not a disenchant. Okay. So no bonus for bountiful bags, but if the prices are right on your server, you want to know the funny thing about what you say there is that I think a lot of us as gold makers tend to assume that everybody on our server knows everything that we do, and I think it's really funny when we come across situations where nobody's doing something. Like, there's been some situations on my server, especially where I've noticed nobody's selling Glyph of Unleash Lightning, nobody's selling Glyph of Shadow. Like, oh, of course, I was going to assume that there was going to be somebody that was going to know these things, but it just, I guess we
This
assume.
is, sorry.
Go, no, go ahead.
I was gonna say this is one of the series that I started. I've still got a few posts to put up. Is the Back to Basics series, and a lot of it is really simple things that people don't think of. Very similar to the kind of the crystal, Maelstrom crystal shower is. You've got the older shatters, the older prismatic changes from large to small, small to large. Trading levers for one type of lever to another, either through a vendor or through lever working. And there's so many simple little things like this that people quite often miss out, that sometimes there can be a lot of gold in it.
I think that one good example of that was taking and doing the icy prisms from Wrath of the Lich King. Able the ability to proc those, use the cooldownless icy prisms that we learned about that had cooldowns but no longer have cooldowns. And so for a long time, I was doing those to try to get Wrath epic gems and possibly Dragon's Eyes and stuff like that. So that's Maelstrom Shatter. So check your auction house and go get your new Maelstrom Shatter recipe from the vendor, and you will be set to go. The next thing I wanted to talk about was something that Cold brought up on, well, kind of shoved in my face, but in a loving way on Twitter. Hey, look at my post! Look at my post! Was this executioner enchant that's been selling now at
Oh,
the
yeah. There was a post on the consortium like 4 days ago about it. I was pretty entertained.
you can go get this executioner enchant recipe from the specialty weapons vendor in Stormspire, which is right near the exotic pet vendor that's in Stormspire as well. And I picked it up today. Unfortunately, I think I'm a little bit behind the curve. Obviously, I wasn't in the vanguard of this, so I think they're down to 300 gold on my server. But again, a lot of times with these new kind of sale things, it seems like a lot of people jump in at first and then just lose interest and stop
It's just
doing it.
winter, spring cubs all over again. A lot of people in the first month, and then they start dropping off, and then eventually you're the only one left.
But definitely, check the prices for that, since that enchant was, I want to say previously to this, was only a bind on pickup available in
ZA.
ZA. Yeah, so we were wondering where that was kind of going to show up, because I remember saying right before the patch that introduced Zulamon, the new one on our podcast, was go in there and farm that enchant if you want that enchant, because we don't know where it's exactly going. So
Also, the effect, it looks really good. It's got a really nice visual effect. Unfortunately, that won't translate to transmogrification because, of course, that has the enchant of your currently equipped
yeah.
weapon. But for like, I have it on a couple weapons that my characters just like wear for fun because it's a really nice looking enchant.
Yeah, it has purple like fire stuff and purple like confetti that fades away when it spark. It's, I don't know how, it's not really sparkles, but kind of sheds, I guess you could say. If I'm thinking of the right one.
I'd personally say it's more blue, well. But okay. Yeah, I have it on a crystal spire of Karabor or whatever the mace off of Illidan is. Looks great.
I have it on an original vanilla claymore from PvP, this Alliance one. It's huge. It basically looks like you're hitting people with a big glitter stick.
Is it kind of... It's. No, I'm getting... I don't know if I'm getting confused with another one that was... Dang it. To the interwebs! Talk amongst yourselves. Now, I'm going to go look this up to make sure I got the...
I'm trying to think of purple ones, because I can think of a lot of really cool BC enchants like Sunfire and stuff, but I can't think of any that were purple.
Did it have... It has like part like square particles coming off of it.
Yeah, but it's more like bluish.
Oh, okay. Fusion. Then we were looking at... We were thinking of the same one. I thought they were more purple than blue. But... Yeah, see, I'm looking on WoWhead, and it definitely looks purple to me.
Well, maybe it's just the weapon I have.
Well, the
put
blue.
On.
Well, so the weapon enchant is blue, but the particles that come off it are purple. So I guess we're both right.
Yay! High five to us.
So,
speaking of things in Netherstorm and PvP gear, by the way, they brought back a lot of PvP gear that wasn't that you couldn't have before, like a lot of the BC seasons, like before this patch, you could only get Brutal. But now if you go to the Vendors in Netherstorm, you can get all the seasons from BC. So
that makes my day. Because
so there's some transmog news for everyone.
Oh my gosh. Because me and my wife played season 2, I think it was. We like died 10 times a week so we could get PvE gear. And like the Hunter gear and her Warlock gear. The ones we liked were the ones that matched up with the Eye of Eternity and Serpent Shrine Cavern, I want to say. Those two. That's pretty awesome. I was not aware. And actually, if you're a shaman, I put this up on a few of my different spots, but if you're a shaman, go down to Garrus in the middle of Shattrath, and he sells a 4-piece shaman set that's like totals out to like something like 1400 honor or justice points that you can actually get the chest and shoulders from the new ZA or ZG, but it looks like the cool troll shaman. I got that one for my enhancement, and then I have the elements set for my restoration set. So oh man, that makes me happy. Yay. I got more. Now I have more posts. I want to start writing for my other blog, Warcraft Looks. So speaking of Warcraft Looks, a little side note, I'm going to be doing some for those of you that don't know, I run another blog called Warcraft Looks. It's been on hiatus a little bit here, but I'm going to start it up again now that the patch 4.3 is out. You can find it at warcraftlooks.blogspot.com. But if you have screenshots of your transmog items, send those in to poweredgold@gmail.com, and I will be making some posts. And if you want to, feel free to fill out an item list of what items you transmogged into and such like that. But just, I want to start getting some posts or just some photo album kind of type things of what people are making, because there's some really, really cool transmogging items that I actually ran across somebody else that had the purple judgment set today. My wife was like, hey, wait, oh, wait, what? Oh, there's like two of us, two Draenei that had the exact same outfit on. She's like, where'd you go? All right, Fade, I'm going to ask you about GCEs from Bountiful Bags. What is the story? Was your petition heard?
I think so. Right when Lodi got Bountiful Bags, which was back in April, I found out that Greater Celestial Essences couldn't proc from this. They had it mistagged, basically. While everything else that you get when you disenchant is considered an enchanting material, they'd mistagged Greater Celestial Essences as an elemental type of material. So, as a result, it couldn't proc from Bountiful Bags. And I've been bumping this thread on the Bug Report forum since April, and as of 4.3, it's finally fixed, and you can get procs. So I'm excited. As a result of this, it might now be more profitable if for a lot of people, they just went straight to Inferno Rubies with their Carnelians because it was more profitable. But it's a really good idea to go back and look at exactly what your numbers would look like now that it can proc.
So check the math. Now, is that something you would like tend to use Ore Crusher for, or do you just tend to do the math in your head?
I don't even do the math in the head. I just guess. I'm not gonna lie. It's like, well, how much is everything going for? That's a big number. I'll do that.
Or the other one, what you need. If you're doing both markets pretty much anyway, if you're short on one, then that way, even if it's not as much money, because you're gonna need to sell it. If I've got 6 billion Inferno rubies but no essences, then there's no point in me getting more Inferno rubies because I'm still only gonna sell the same amount.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get one of you guys to help me learn the ways of enchanting scrolls. It's one of those markets that I have access to, but I just never learned it well. Like stats, like greater stats to chest or whatever, the one with two of the lessers. It's like the only thing I tend to sell. So
see, the thing is TSM. Like, just set up your TSM properly, and it'll tell you everything you got to craft, and it'll buy it for you, and it's all pretty simple. And then you can use that as a stepping stone to learn why certain things sell and all that good stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I need to get back more in the swing of things. I've been playing around and having so much fun on all this other stuff. I gotta get back to work. Actually, that was kind of an interesting topic. Actually, I want to bring up, but I'm gonna save that till after the break. So, is there anything else about GCEs that you wanted to talk about, Fade, before we kind of take a break?
I don't think so.
Okay, all right. Well, let's go ahead and take a break here, and we will be back in just a second. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Power Gold Podcast, episode number 23. Only 4 episodes behind Call to Auction. I just hope that they wait another year to do another episode.
So I'll just record another one straight after this and like pretend that it's next week.
Yeah, Fade, what we're going to do is we're going to break this one into actually like 5 mini podcasts that are 20 minutes long, just so we can get our number like from 20 to 20, like 8.
Now let's just record a whole bunch in advance. Like in an hour or so, we'll start talking about how great this Pandaria is.
Like, yeah. Starting zones are amazing.
My monk is like level 76, and I'm just loving this.
Is that it? I'm 85.
85? Why aren't you 90 yet? That's the new level cap.
Yeah, I know. Oh, snap. I got to 85 and decided to take the monk into the old dungeons and see how I can post.
Gimp.
Just soloing Deathwing with your...
You're killing me, Gimp. I'm going to have to... Can I call you back?
Yep.
Okay, I'll call you back in just a second. Boy. Your thing is... I am a robot. A robot Gimp would be an awesome thing to have, but unfortunately, it's not so good. He's probably because he's tanking dungeons while he's doing the podcast. He should know by now that the number one rule in the podcast is that you don't play World of Warcraft at the same time as you're...
I'm opening my mail. Does that count?
Well, honestly, I guess if supposedly the World of Warcraft doesn't take a lot of bandwidth, so that shouldn't be an issue. But a lot of times I'll listen to like WoW, Girls Gone WoW or something like that, and it'll be like, oh, you sound like a robot. Oh, yeah, well, I'm playing such and such, my so-and-so's something-somethings. So, Gimp, do we have you back?
Did you even just say?
I think most of the Girls Gone Wild connections is because their guests are always from America. It's like me. That's why I'm going robotic, but Fade isn't. I'm in EU, so it's a long distance.
Yeah, it's not because you're playing WoW at the same time as you're on the podcast.
Not with my connection, it won't be.
Oh, okay. Probably, yeah.
I could run 4 or 5 computers at like a couple of meg downloads each and still run loads of other stuff fine.
Nice. All right, so patch day. We talked about patch day. What's the biggest... Let's talk about this. Fade, you had written some articles about this. I think you had even talked about it on the podcast before. Did you stockpile enough, and what was your experience with stockpiling for this patch?
Let's make sure I'm not muted before I'm talking.
No,
okay.
We can hear you.
Well, I'm not usually one to stockpile. This is my first time that I ever really kind of stockpiled. And considering what most people do, I don't even know if you'd define it as stockpiling, since I only started 3 days before the patch, but in which basically I bought everything that I possibly could off the auction house, and it still paid off. But I ended up with something like 270 Inferno Rubies and like 10 of every Epic Lake patch, and you know, a bunch, a little bit of everything, but not a whole lot of anything kind of a thing. And I mean, I knew even beforehand that I wasn't going to have nearly as much as I want. That's one thing that I always like say about patch days is no matter how much I prepare, I would never feel like I had enough. So that's kind of one of the reasons I didn't stockpile is because I was like, well, it's not like I'm ever going to have enough.
Have a Spuddy's patch day?
I don't know what that means.
Oh, have you ever seen... you have to explain a reference that kind of kills it. Yeah. But have you ever seen Over the Hedge?
No.
Oh, okay. Have you ever seen it, Gimp?
Yep.
Okay. Well, in Over the Hedge, there's all these animals that eat food, and there's the one raccoon, and he loves the bear that he accidentally wakes up loves Spuddy's. And Spuddy's theme is like Pringles, essentially, and it's Spuddy's theme is that our tagline is with Spuddy's, enough is never enough. So that's.
I see. Okay.
Sorry.
Now I understand.
Yeah. It's a good movie. You should see it.
Okay.
He has loads of food as well.
All right. So enough. You worry that no matter how much you do, you'll never think it's enough. So you kind of put it off and then just do it kind of. At least that's what we did the last time.
Yeah, pretty much. And honestly, like since this was my first real experience with trying to stockpile, I mean, it's definitely got me more warmed up to stockpiling because I think about all the different things I could have done, mostly stocking Inferno Rubies, of course. But also, I didn't really get on the leatherworking bandwagon until like a couple days before and all that stuff. And Maelstrom Crystal Enchants. Until the day before the patch, I didn't have a single Maelstrom Crystal Enchant on my Enchanter. And some other gold makers were like, why not? And I think my reason was good. It's that I make plenty of markup just from Mighty Stats to Chest. But I figured, you know what? I probably should get those enchants. So I learned them. So that was a whole new market for me on patch day as well. So there was just a lot of, you know, I feel that I could spend ages stockpiling and preparing and still not be ready. But still, every bit that you put into stockpiling, you're going to profit on. So it's not like you shouldn't do as much as you can.
You know what? You want to know what, Fade? Thank you so much, because you reminded me about what I was going to talk about.
Yay, I'm the savior of the podcast.
Yay, and I'm going to write it down right here, and so we can finish about what we're talking about. So now, something I read online, or in Twitter or something, was that no matter how many red gems you stockpile, it's never enough. Was that true with you, Fade? You said you had 270, and could you have sold more if you had had them, or was...
I could have sold... someone asked me, a friend of mine on my server asked me, they're like, how many Inferno Rubies would you have stockpiled? Because they're kind of into gold making, too. And I told them, and I think it's completely true, if I had had an entire guild bank stocked with stacked Inferno Rubies, I am sure that I could have sold them all. So, I mean, Argent Dawn's a pretty big server, and I play on the more populated faction. So, I'm positive that I could have sold thousands of Inferno Rubies. So,
I stockpiled nigh on about the same as you did, and I only got on for 2 hours of patch day because I worked during the day shift. And then had to go pick up some family from the airport and then spend time with family from Scotland that I hadn't seen in a while. And I still sold every single gem I had. And I made, I think it was like 30k just in those 2 hours that I got on. Just from Inferno Rubies.
Yeah, I was selling Inferno Rubies, and I started them off at like 225. I ended up selling out. They got down to like about 180 before I sold out, and like a day after I sold out, there were a bunch up, and like the prices were at 400 gold per ruby. So it's like, yeah, I could still be making quite a bit of gold if
Yeah,
I still had them.
even tonight I didn't stockpile hardly at all. I had probably about 20 or 30 Inferno Rubies going into this. So obviously I had been playing a lot of alts and not really doing a lot of preparing for the patch. But even tonight I checked and there was like no delicate Inferno Rubies on the auction house, like zero. And I just like freaked out. I'm just like, Professor Profit will help this situation. So I was able to put some up for 300, and the current rate this today was like 250, and since there was none, I put them up for 325. I'm like, we can raise this up a little bit here. And actually, I was surprised I found Elementium ore for, because I don't have any. I used up all, my wife's like, I need some Inferno Rubies for my gear. And so I ended up opening up a lot of those in, what is it, fire prisms. I opened up about eight of them, and there's no epic gems to report out of there. Gimp, I told Fade that I had basically stocked up. I've been. Early on in Cataclysm, I just started putting every single fire prism I made into the guild bank, so I had about 15 or 20 of them waiting in there. But hoping that maybe someday they would show epics. So I was able to find ore for about 4.5 gold per ore, Elementium ore today, which is actually really surprising. I don't know if bots are back or if somebody just had a massive stockpile. I was just like, all right. So I just started shuffling again because the Inferno Rubies are so valuable that shuffling. And actually, even like, I was surprised Amber Jewels were selling, like, the. Which ones were we talking about? The Fractured or the.
Fractured is usually the big seller, and then this week, Mystics will start selling really well.
Okay, yeah. So Mystics are the PvP. Was it Resilience?
Yep,
Okay.
Mystic is pure resilience.
So maybe I should start picking up all the Amber Jewels because the Amber Jewels were going for like 4, 5, 6, 7 gold, and I was selling them for like 27 to 47 to 50 gold a piece. And I was like, why isn't every Amber Jewel in the auction house gone? Like, why are there still raw ones for 7 and cut ones for 47? You put the thing over there, and then you put it over there. And then you put this, and you put that over there. So it was, it was kind of like, why
Ore
are people
prices have
doing
been
this?
mental on my server, though. Like, one day there'll be like 3 gold, and there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and I'm buying it all and then leaving a few up just to keep the price low. And then I log on like 12 hours later, and there's like none on there.
And you're like putting it back on for three
And I
times the
put it back
price.
up for like, yeah, I've put a few hundred stacks back up at 7 gold. It sells instantly, and then another
Yeah.
guy comes along and puts it up for like 15 gold, and that sells. And I'm like, who's buying this?
Yeah, I
It was
did the
only
same
3 gold
exact thing.
yesterday.
Right before the patch, I run into these. That's the one thing I love about using Auctionator, and that was one thing that I actually still haven't got Auctioneer running, and I know some people still miss it.
Yeah,
SoCo,
the beta version.
yeah. But
I downloaded the patch, works fine.
okay, so there's ways to get it running, but using Auctionator pretty much. Well, I already used it for most of my stuff, but. Being able to just see the market in that really short form when you're going to sell stuff really means like I can say, oh, there's only 3 stacks of ore left on the auction house. So I'm going to buy them out and I'm going to turn around and I'm going to put them back up for 9 gold per ore or something like that. So, yeah, there's just, yeah, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. And basically, if you have half a brain right now and you're doing the same things you're doing or have been doing, that's what I like about patches is that you can do the same things you could do that you have been doing, but you'll make like 3 times as much gold at it. So I'm shuffling now to get Inferno Rubies. But the thing I was going to bring up that was very interesting was, and I want to get your guys' kind of ideas on this. Keelhaul, who's DE Azeroth on Twitter and has the blog DE Azeroth. Well, Disenchanting Azeroth. Basically, was saying that he spent all this time, basically, I had alluded to it a little earlier, but when he realized that there was transmogging coming, and he had done all the research for his own blog about the different weapon looks and stuff, but he ended up never getting around to armor and stuff like that. But he realized, well, I'm just going to start buying up all of the plate sets that, and I'm just going to collect them as I go. He started this probably 2 or 3 weeks or maybe a month before the patch and started collecting them. He has a new child, so he would be on his iPhone searching the auction houses. I think he had a couple different servers he was working, so he could flip between them really easily with the iPhone app, and just while he was rocking his baby to sleep, you know, buying these sets off the auction house and just storing them up in his guild bank, and he had all these sets basically set up. And I think, Gimp, you had said that he had said at some point now he had made somewhere around 250,000 gold off of...
I think I saw a tweet and
it's... and he's been Twittering a lot about all the different items that he's been selling, and he's kind of become what I dubbed the Mog Father on his server. He has people now coming to him or sending him in-game mails looking for specific items, looking for set pieces or hard-to-find items. And the funny thing about that was that earlier today he said, you know what, I did all this, I had a theory, I tested the theory, and the theory's true, and so now I don't know what to do, because I'm not interested in this anymore. Like, you know what I mean? So that was my kind of question to you guys, is I kind of agree with him. I've always thought of gold making kind of the way I've thought of World of Warcraft in general, and the way I look at it is it's like a series of interesting puzzles. It's a series of interesting things that you can figure out, and once you figure them out, I lose interest in it, and I kind of want to try to figure something else out. So like for me, it was playing World of Warcraft, learning how to play. Okay, now I'm playing a DPS class. Okay, well now I learn that there is such a thing as a tank. Okay, and I learned there's such a thing as a healer. Okay, now I'll learn how to do a tank, and then maybe now I'll learn how to do a healer. And then now that you got a tank and a healer and a DPS, maybe I will, you know, play another DPS class, or, you know, and eventually kind of just keeps going and snowballing to where now you have one of every class, and now you have, you know, and it kind of just goes from there. And so for me, gold making has always been the interesting thing about gold making is that it's one giant puzzle, and it's very hard to get every single thing figured out for it. For me, if I figure out one aspect of making gold, it kind of becomes like a tool in my toolbox, and then I might not actually do that anymore for a while, but maybe I'll pick it up. That's for me, gold making is more about the discovery and not as much about the gold I get is just a byproduct of the fact that I continue to like to want to discover new items or new ways of doing things. Fade, what would you say kind of is your take on why you kind of make gold? Are you more of a discovery person, or are you like a goal-oriented person that wants to get to the certain finish line at all costs, or you just do certain things, or what's your kind of take on that?
I think generally speaking, I'm more goal-oriented, because, like, for example, my first goal was 214k, because that was the old cap, then 500k, then 1 million, and suddenly, now that I'm over 1 million, I don't have a goal. And so I'm not really making a lot of gold. I'm hovering around 1 million. And so...
Congratulations on 1 million again.
Yay, thanks. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just hover around 1 million. I think I'm up to like 1.3 right now. But, so it's...
I'm sorry, but you just say that like, 1.... Because I just know you hit 1 million. Now you're at 1.3, and I'm like, yeah. That's like... That's
300k
like
three, in 2 days.
That's like three-fourths of everything I own. Okay, so anyways, keep going. But, I will hit 500k someday. So.
You can do it. It's just like, if I don't have the goal, I don't really seem to make gold, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, one of the only things that really has me looking for new ways to make gold is the fact that I know people like to read about them on my blog, and I mm-hmm. like to make videos and stuff. And so while I do enjoy like discovering new ways to make gold, at the end of the day, it just kind of comes down to the goal. And also, my favorite thing about making gold isn't discovering a new way. It's more or less just watching the process or watching it work. Like, nothing makes me happier than buying like a formula, an enchanting formula off the auction house for 5 gold and selling it for 10,000. Or like just buying, I can't think of anything right now, but you know, just buying stupid crap and selling it to like vendor recipes and pets are my favorite thing ever because they just make me laugh so much when I log on to like 3,000 gold a day from stuff you can buy from vendors. It's just happy. Like, that's what I love the most is just the oddness of how it works. The
so you system. Like stupidity?
Yes. I like to use gold making as a measure of the stupidity of players on my server. That's exactly it.
My favorite part of gold making is listening to all the money coming in from the mail every day. I don't care if I make like 200 gold or if I make like 3,000 or whatever. I'm just like, this is so cool. Because basically every single complete auction mail is a validation of something I did. Mm-hmm. Like you put something up and you put it up at the right price and somebody bought it.
I also have to admit I like having enough gold to throw at anything I want. Like right now, there's the Dartmoon Fair Arena with a trinket with an achievement attached to it. Mm-hmm. And I was offering people 5,000 gold a piece to help me get it. Unfortunately, it didn't work out so well, kind of backfired on me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's like the fact that I could sit there and hire 17 people at 5,000 gold each to help me get some crappy trinket I didn't even really want is just like the best thing in the world to me.
Yeah, I was happy to be able
best
to help.
In the World of Warcraft, I mean.
In the World of Warcraft. I was happy to be able to help my my wife get some items. And people that don't make gold kind of always, maybe it's just my wife, always feel bad. Like, I'm like, here, let's get this offhanded. Yeah, this will work. How much was that one? Oh, 5,000 gold. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, don't be sorry. Come on. To me, I'm like, you know. To sell it back or whatever, or maybe make some gold off of it. So it's kind of fun. Gimp, you had a post you wanted to talk about, because I was gonna go ahead and roll the question onto you. What drives you to kind of keep going as far as making gold, and what's your kind of take on that one?
It makes me laugh because like originally I always think of making gold as the reason you started making gold. And I did a post about that where it's usually people want pets or people want this or the other, et cetera, et cetera. And I started mainly due to the fact I had nothing else to do. I couldn't raid at the time. I enjoy PvP, but not like all day, every day. So I started making gold as a little kind of side challenge to just leveling all the time and questing and whatever else. Whereas now I enjoy it and it might sound silly, but I enjoy it for the out-of-game rewards, the community, the people that talk about it. And there's massive amounts of communities out there. There's all the bloggers that talk to each other on Skype, Twitter. You've got IRC channel and forums. There's another couple of TeamSpeak servers that I sit on that are part of one of the secret projects I talked about earlier, so I'm not going to specifically say them. But there's just like so many different people you can chat to, and it's the way people bounce ideas off each other. And one of my favorite things with gold making is when you get a milestone. A lot of people, like, when they talk about raids, we got this boss down, it's done in a very arrogant, we did it before you kind of way. Or, we did it, but we did it quicker than you when we actually killed him. Like, you took 10 minutes, even if you did it a week before us, but we did it in 5. And all these kind of trying to take away from other people's achievements to make theirs better. And it's all kind of big-headed, kind of, to use an American term, jockey. Very, very kind of...
That's not an American term, I'm sorry to tell you.
I'm just adding...
I knew what he was on about.
I understand what he means, but I've...
To use the American term jock, I'm just adding an E on the end.
Yes, jock, yeah.
You just say ish and things like jock. That. So you're basically being a jock and acting all kind of, yeah, bro, I'm the man.
Bro.
Bro fist and all this kind of malarkey. Whereas gold making, like, you hit a milestone and you say to people, and everyone's like, oh, brilliant. And they try and learn from it and they help each other and, like... For example, if I hit my 500k, I get Fade's got twice as much as me, and she's still like, "Yeah, well done, Gimp." And you're setting IRC channel with consortium, and they're like, "Cool, what have you been doing to get there?" And you'll tell someone else, and then they'll use your tips to try and get further themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'll say to someone, "Oh, I've hit this, but I don't feel confident in getting to the next stone. What can I do?" And people will help you progress. And it's just that kind of difference between raiding and PvP that I love.
Yeah.
It's competitive, but in a sporting kind of way.
That was actually one of the things that I was a little disappointed in with the Call to Auction podcast number 27 that I've listened to, probably over half of it, was that I believe it was Euripides was like, you know, and I make this gold and I just don't have anybody to talk to about it. And I'm just like, you got a whole community of people to talk to, Euripides, you know, or Fox Van Allen, whoever said that in the podcast.
I know what they're talking about, though. I mean, you can't, like,
yeah,
with your in-game
IRL,
friends.
IRL, yeah.
It, like, even games, with your in-game friends, if you're like, yeah, I have 1 million gold, and it's, you're either being a braggart, or you're, like, you're going to get people begging you for gold. Yeah.
Goldception. It's goldception.
Or, like, not even necessarily, like, begging you for gold, but, like, everyone in my guild knows that I like to make gold and stuff, and I don't mind, like... I don't keep it a secret, and I don't mind them teasing me because we all tease each other, but it's like, it is kind of a joke that Fade has tons of gold, and Fade will just buy anything she wants. And it's true, so I don't mind them saying so, but it's like, there's definitely some side effects of people knowing you have gold, so I can understand what he means by saying, I can't tell people.
It's like goldception, like... So in outside of World of Warcraft, if you start talking about World of Warcraft, a lot of times people will like be like, okay, you know, like they have this preconceived idea. But inside World of Warcraft, I can imagine if you start talking about gold, like because outside, you get somebody outside, well, you get somebody in the real life world talking about World of Warcraft, they'll like just start talking about it and they'll keep talking about it and they'll keep talking, you know, and I can imagine the same thing in game where you're like, you want to talk about gold, but then they're like, okay. Because you could be like, well, this, and then the Inferno Rubies, and then you shatter them, you know, and they're like, okay, cool story, bro. You know, so, yeah, I'm community is a big thing, Gimp. So that's what you are saying, and that's, I think it helps all of us. We lift each other up. There's a saying, I don't know the exact way that the phrase goes, but a rising sea lifts all ships, basically.
I've always heard a rising tide floats all boats.
sounds similar, but the main idea is that, you know, every bit of exposure that we get as a community, everything we can do helps everybody else. Yeah, I'm pretty proud of the community that we have. The people in it are pretty fantastic, are pretty awesome. You know, whether it's people that I've got to know personally, you know, Gimp and Fade and Nev and new people that are coming in, Exynthis, just people that, you know, I've got to know. The gold community is pretty awesome. Anybody that goes to any of these blogs out there can, and even hangs out for a little while, hopefully can see that and listens to this. So I'm not going to get all like, oh, our community's so awesome, like all weepy, like I get, like, but yeah. So I just wanted to talk about that because it was really interesting to think about Keel Hall basically coming to the end of this experiment and being like, okay, I know it works. Now what? Now what? He's grokked that technique and he knows it's there, and like I told him on Twitter, you just put it in your toolbox. It's another thing you can pull out at some point if you ever need to, you know, because it kind of like what was once a new idea, like whether it was you, Gimp, talking about selling these green items from 77 to 80, which kind of to me was a revelation, or you know what we've experienced with transmogrifying, that at one point is one or two or three people kind of pioneering the idea and then becomes kind of a standard, and you get, you know, and this is the kind of thing that I want to say that Consortium probably is like a primordial ooze for the gold community in general. I don't spend a lot of time. Well, I spend almost zero time on the Consortium forums, which is probably to my detriment, but, almost every idea, well, a lot of the really good ideas come from there, but they just kind of become, you know, part and parcel of the gold community's kind of collective consciousness of techniques for making gold in World of Warcraft, and the fact that I've been doing it for 10 months now, almost to the day, and Fade, you had said you had hit your million years. You hit your 1 year mark back in October, November.
It was early fall. I think it was like August, maybe, but I forget.
But it is interesting to think back since I've been doing the new kind of side project I've been doing with the Power Word Gold Chronicle, which is essentially a newspaper that has new gold posts, well, similar to a newspaper. It's been interesting to see the blogs that, you know, have been around for quite a while, are kind of the standard bearers for that. And I've actually even got to say that I gave crap to Just My Two Copper last podcast, but as I've actually started to look through articles, not really trying to pick and choose specifically, like, based on my own personal thoughts about it, but just in general, like, some of the Just My Two Copper stuff actually isn't bad, so good job.
Yeah, they've got some good writers. I mean, I think most of the people fail to not that I'm saying that you necessarily did, but I think a lot of readers don't really realize that there's a difference between whatever Marco is currently running the site, the people who are actually writing the posts, because the Marco person doesn't really write very much, and most of the stuff they write is just advertisements. But if you read the articles written by the actual writers that that were hired to write for the site, they're actually pretty good.
Yeah.
So
they do a good job. So I just wanted to, we're kind of coming close to the end here. I just wanted to ask you guys if there was any new gold blogs that you guys had kind of been keeping an eye on recently. I know I've been basically going over a lot of them for putting together the Power Gold Chronicle, but I guess I'll start off with you, Gimp. Is there anything that you've kind of been keeping your eye on? I know there's, we hit kind of a cool milestone this week with the Power Gold blog directory. World of Warcraft Gold. So it's such a long name. You get it wrong. I get it wrong every time. The World of Warcraft Gold Blog Directory was that there's now 80 gold blogs listed on the directory.
Wow, that's a lot. But that counts in active ones.
Counts in actives. There's about 37 or 38 active ones. So nearly 50% of them have been updating in the last month. But still, it's pretty crazy to think. I think when I started, there was maybe 30 or so, and then there was like 14 or so active. I think I calculated it out to be like a couple every week that start up. But yeah, so Gimp, is there anything you've been kind of keeping your eye on? Anything that's been inspiring you recently on the gold making blogosphere kind of?
It's not a new blog, but it's new to me. It was Zinfathis, or Zinsinthis, whichever way you want to pronounce it.
Exinthis. I talked to him on Skype, and that's how he says he pronounces it.
Yeah, so I've been reading his a lot. I like his because he's very theory-based, and he talks about ideas a lot rather than specific methods.
And his is the Golden Crusade.
Yep, and he did the kind of survey on how many people have a certain amount of gold, which a lot of people have given a bad rep to, saying, oh, it was only done on gold forums, but it really wasn't. If you read his disclaimer in that, it was on WoW Insider, it was on lots of forums, it was on both the European and the US forums.
You have to understand, though, that still leads to skewed results, because that means that his pool is only people who visit WoW websites, to be the entire player base.
Did you read the disclaimer?
No.
He explains that straight away, but that's my point. You're not reading it. Read the bloody post.
I haven't even seen it. Where is it?
Excellent. So
you're whinging about a post you haven't read.
Whinging. God, I hate that.
But anyway, if people read the full post properly, the discussion of ideas is more the point than the actual specific findings. He states that his information will be skewed due to this reason, that reason. He points out all these reasons.
So that it is skewed. I'm not saying that his
Yeah,
thing's
but
crap.
He says that from day one.
Yeah,
And
I know. I'm not
everyone
saying
keeps saying, like, oh, it's good. And it's like, yeah, he says
it
that.
is.
He says that before anyone else did.
So, still skewed.
But people say it in a very vindictive kind of way, as if
yeah,
it's
I
not
know.
an appropriate kind of post because the data would be skewed.
Yeah, that's not, like, I just like to remind people of that, because I had to take this horrible course, and it was all about whether or not sources could be trusted.
Oh, 90%
today.
Of bloody things
such.
Out there can't. I mean, let's be honest.
So, yeah, so now I'm always like, now this is why this survey can't be considered correct. And it's like,
yeah.
I thought it was really interesting. I wasn't trying to say.
But sometimes it isn't the result
survey.
Of the. Sometimes it isn't results of surveys that give us the information. It's more the idea and the study of the survey. And the thought process he goes through with afterwards, and then in a couple of posts that link to it, it's very in depth of the reasons people make gold, the way that gold's made, the reason prices on the auction house stay the way they are. And there's a lot of thought there which people probably don't think about. They just make their gold, and it's nice to actually expand the idea base.
Yeah, as somebody who has thought quite a bit about gold making and writing about gold making, the theory side of it has always been an attractive one to me. The practicals of gold making are interesting, in as much as I like learning them, and I personally like teaching people how to do it as well. But I always like kind of the theories that go behind it as well. So, and actually, kind of to pick up on that, to kind of talk a little bit about his website, this is kind of a side note, but he's working on putting a project together called the WoW Gold Blog Archives. This is something he had talked about on Twitter. And if you go to his website, which is
xsinthis.net.
Yeah, xsinthis.net. And you click on WoW Gold Blog Archives. He explains a little bit of what he's doing. He wants to basically find maybe authors who have written about gold in the past, but maybe aren't keeping it maintained, and are wanting to make sure that their writings and stuff kind of stay, so that like they don't disappear if someone's web hosting goes up or they don't pay for their domain anymore or whatever. So you can get a hold of him there. Sorry, that's just a side note for anybody who might have written a gold blog in the past and doesn't write it anymore, but is still interested and still listens to this. So, Fade, what? Is there anything in the gold blogging community, or do you just not even read gold blogs? Do you just know so much?
Honestly, I don't read very many gold blogs. I browse my own blog roll every day. I look at new posts. I scroll over them a bit. But honestly, I don't really read a lot of gold blogs, not because I don't think that there's a reason to, but because usually it's just stuff I already know because I talk to so many people on Twitter. Like it's like so much stuff comes out of Twitter. But I do still read gold blogs. I've been reading The Golden Crusade. Apparently not all of it. Thanks, GIMP, for pointing that out.
I sounded very angry when I said that.
Yeah, I was feeling a little bit sad.
He was getting jockish.
It's like, no, I wasn't trying to be mean to the survey. I was just pointing out a fact. So I have been reading Xsynthesis' blog, and then I've been trying to go to the consortium forums at least once a day and browse what the currently active topics are, because they do have a lot of really good information out there. Like, I think they were the first people to talk about the executioner available on vendors, and I also the IRC is great, especially on patch day. I loved being in there.
Yes.
So,
I've been honestly, Alto gave me crap for starting the Power Word Gold Chronicles, but because even though I said it in the post, it's very similar to the Undermine Journal, what the Undermine Journal does with their syndicated feeds. The main reason I started the Chronicle was to essentially allow to give me a motivation to keep up with what the gold blogging community was. I think what's going on, because I think that it can get to the point where your RSS reader has 250 unread posts and you're just like, you just click on it and say, set read all. Set all to read.
Is the Chronicle, are you doing that manually picking the
Yes.
posts?
Yeah.
Well, that'll be the difference between you and the Undermined Journal as well. The Undermined Journal just has a list of people and it picks them through kind of computerized system, which I don't like.
Yeah, I don't really, like I said, I don't try to let my biases kind of go into what goes into it. Basically, if it's gold making related and it's recent, then it goes in there. So I'm hoping to do it 2 or 3 times a week. And basically, I pull it straight off of the RSS feeds that are listed in the gold blog directory. And I just say, okay, who's new? What's the latest post? I'll take a paragraph out of that. I've even added in the last edition, to use the newspaper terms, I even posted people's RSS feeds. So, yeah, it's done by hand in that. And so, yeah, that is a little bit of the difference, is that it's not kind of automatically generated. I know, Fade, we had talked a little bit before about it, and you had said that sometimes you want to post something that is not necessarily gold related, or something that, you know, you don't want to have to worry about it being, you know, thrown up there on that. So, you know, anything that people post on their blogs that isn't straight, like, say, for example, your post about being able to transmogrify your items for your bank tunes, like, or your alt.
The other thing is, as well, the Undermined Journal, you need to request to be part of their blog thing. And then they decide, yeah, a lot of the time,
I got shoved on there.
Or if you're quite big, whereas because you're looking for newer bloggers as well, so you're giving these new people that want to discuss things and want to chat, that's a supportive thing you're doing there. You're giving them a bit of an audience, you're voicing their view, whereas the Undermined Journal, I get the impression it's kind of just trying to push the bigger. I don't know if that is deliberate, and don't get me wrong, I'm not having a go at them.
I think a lot of it is a lot of new blogs fail really soon. I shouldn't say fail. The bloggers stop writing, so I imagine if he was trying to keep track of everything all the time, it would get pretty burdensome.
Yeah, I haven't talked to him too much, just a little bit, but he's a very interesting person. It's kind of one of those people that kind of has an aura about them, because he's like, I hope it's a he, but anyways, whatever he does, like, he just does everything so gosh darn cool. Like, everything is just so cool. Like, I don't know what it is about the Undermined Journal. Like, everything, even just the style of the layout and of the pages and all the different things, it's just, you can tell that he has just this certain
Do you have eye. Website envy? You have website envy, don't you?
Well, according to Alto, there's going to be the Power Word Gold auctions site at some point where it'll be we'll have auction house data. So I'm gonna be buying a certain unnamed gold auction site and or auction not gold auctions but auction site, and then it will be folded all into one. No,
yes.
One mega. No, everything
You're
I
buying Wild Crusher, aren't you?
Everything
Maybe
I
Maybe you could actually make it useful. Oh snap.
Everything I do, I try to do because, one, it's interesting to me, and two, it helps the community. And so I think, but so the Chronicle will have the latest, whether the blog's been around. Now, granted, you need 6 posts to get into the directory, so that's kind of the precursor. So you have to at least have posted 6 posts.
Can I just hit on something that you've mentioned, kind of jogged my memory from what you were talking. The other things that kind of caught my eye was, for anyone that can't really afford a little bit of extra money for the Undermined Journal notifications, but has a little bit of tech savvy, if you check out the consortium, they've got a new thing that kind of sets up a personal version of that. It is very, very annoying to set up. But once you've got it running, it will email you based on your own computer, and it's your own little server. So check that out. And the other one is Auto's back. He's been disappeared. So anyone that's new to the gold area, it's worth checking him out on Twitter and his blog. Even though he hasn't been doing a massive amount of blogging lately, he is back to the kind of community.
Let's see. I'm going to try to think over a few things. I'm actually going to go ahead and go to the Power Word Gold Chronicle here. I'm just trying to see. I've really been enjoying... I've been enjoying Markets for Gold, actually. It's been doing some interesting stuff. If you're into the glyph market, you definitely want to be checking out Critical Goblin and Markets for Gold. They're both kind of two of the big gold blogging sites that are specific just to Inscription. Jackspot is a new French gold blogger. Their URL is wow-jackspot.blogspot.com. So if you speak French or prefer to read your posts in French, go ahead and check them out. And then let's see what's been going on. Kalior is back, thank goodness. I like Kalior. He's been back. So, and then, yeah, I think that's a good one. The Golden Crusade, definitely, for sure. I've been, like I said, I've been doing more. And the, I had something I was going to say, Gimp, when you were talking. Oh, and Nerf Fades.
Nerf Fades is awesome.
Nerf Fades is...
Whoever writes that blog is just, probably very attractive.
It's just like...
And incredibly egotistical.
It goes without saying that, I mean, if you go back to the very earliest days of Powered Gold, every single thing I do is basically, Fade did this. I'm going to show you did this. Actually, I was going back and looking at YouTube comments on my video about how to set up Trade Skill Master for Glyphs, which I need to do a remastered version of that at some point because it was so terrible. And then basically as far as that, I just been doing my own thing as far as gold making and Twitter. Honestly, that's the thing that's been exploding. Twitter has been great. Like if you're on your phone or you're on online, Twitter. All right.
It's all about the Twitterverse.
The Twitterverse, the blogosphere, and the face space. Gimp.
There we go. New word for gold people that post on Twitter. Glitterers.
Glitterers?
I see what you did glitter. There.
Gold. Kind of, no, never mind. Fade light.
I saw what you did there. I never said I liked it. I just said I did what I saw you did there.
Do you want to know something? I think I might have said this once on the podcast before. When I was first starting out, I didn't really like the word goblin for using for gold making people, so I purposefully never use it. I think I've said that one other time on the podcast, so whenever you hear me say anything about it, it's always gold makers.
Especially
gold
now that king. Like you call someone a goblin and you're like,
yeah,
I'm a night elf. Because there's actually goblins in the game.
I mean, I still think there's a segment of people out there that love the idea of kind of personifying gold makers as goblins. But and I don't, I just like gold makers because it pretty much says it straight up. It's gold making. Gimp, you wanted to talk a little bit about something that you wanted to. You just wanted to shamelessly plug something. Go ahead. Sorry. There's no smooth segue into that.
It's kind of, I'll do a mini segue. Okay. Anyone that reads Warcraft Econ, you'll probably have seen Trade Chat on there, or Danielle, as her real name is, Panzer, loads of other names. For her. She's currently in a competition called King of the Web, and I love Panzer and Trade Chat because I just love the kind of tongue-in-cheek thing that she does, and like a lot of people like read and hear stuff about WoW because of her and because of the shameless part of men would look at pretty girl. And she's in that competition. I just think you should vote for her, simple, because I enjoy reading her notes that she does on her YouTube videos and watching the videos and stuff. So shameless plug.
She's one of those people that I think people can take her for granted, not take her for granted, but underestimate how much she actually knows.
I love her because she knows a lot of things and she joins in. But the thing I love is she's always happy. And I watch her non-WoW channel mm-hmm. as well, which is just her vlogging.
Random Panzer.
And it's just, like, I can't sit and watch it. Like, she'll be sitting there with her boyfriend or a couple of her mates that are other YouTubers and stuff. And I can't not sit there and smile. And while you're playing WoW, even just I'll have it in the background listening to it. It's just great to have kind of such a happy person to listen to. So mm-hmm. yeah. Go watch her videos and vote for her.
And a few other YouTubers I wanted to plug out. There are I Am Cheeb. I think that has two I's in Cheeb.
Awesome.
And then her sister has one as well. Wow. I think it's Wow Asia or Akia or Aki.
You can't find them. They're all on my Twitter.
And then Wow Krendor. Although Wow Krendor is like a perfect example of somebody who started in one thing and then kept branching out to other things. And he's still interesting in some things, but he has so many other things he's doing that it's tough to like, I get his email updates for when he posts, and it'll be like, oh, this is a lol day. Okay, I don't need to watch his video. Oh, this one he's talking. Okay, I don't need to watch that video. Okay, oh, this one's about, you know, he's a good guy. So
may I use that as a perfect segue for my plug?
Go for it.
On that note, I actually have two different YouTube channels to avoid that kind of thing. I've got
two?
Fadetastic.
Two?
Yeah, I have two YouTube channels.
Greedy.
I know, right? I need all the followers. But I've got Fadetastic, which is my gold-making one. And then I have another one, which is Fade Plays, and it's for Let's Plays and stuff, which are all pretty cool. But basically what I want to say is probably by the time this podcast comes out, I will have the full vent included fraps of our Deathwing kill for my guild. Mm-hmm. So should be pretty interesting if you want to see what it looks like when I'm raiding and hear how my
guild looks. Is that going to be PG-18 by any chance?
I don't even know what that means. You need to use American rating system here.
I don't know. I thought that was American. We don't have PG-18 in the video.
R.
I just hear Americans say it. We just have 18.
And then R.
We have NC-17.
So is that R rated?
I wish it was NC-17.
We literally just have...
I don't know, with all the tentacles.
What is Deathwing doing? He's rolling over.
I honestly don't know.
We just have 12, 15, and 18, and that's it. Which is universal. Anyone can watch it.
PG-13, R, and NC-17, and triple X.
I don't think there's a differentiation. Is there a differentiation between... I don't think triple X is an actual rating.
I don't think it is either.
It just stands for a type of video.
but yeah, so if you want to see Fade kill Deathwing, it should be up on Fade Plays by the time you're hearing this. So.
You underestimate my editing prowess! And my desire! To be called to auction. No, it's okay. I'm glad that there's another gold making blog out podcast out there. I'm so excited.
Watch this space is all I'm saying.
For GIMP? Watch this space for GIMP.
For vocal gold chat. Not necessarily a podcast, but watch this space.
I've been hearing rumblings. I've been subtly, not so subtly nudging everybody over there
Let's put it this way, IRC channel, the other community I talked about but will not name at the moment.
I feel so lost.
Twitterverse and many, many other gold people. Toltec, Gold, Sinshroud, a few other people have all heard about this idea and watch
this.
Apparently
Fade's the only one who wasn't invited.
You were there
party.
When we were discussing it. You're just not very good at understanding
remembering
what we're talking
things.
About when I'm not saying
okay.
things outright.
I got it now that you told me that I was there. Okay, I remember now. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. This sounds like an awesome, suspenseful surprise.
Good times. So I just want to go ahead, since we're wrapping it up here, I want to talk a little bit about... Hold on. No wonder... You know what's wrong with my Skype is that I had scrolled up one, like... I had scrolled up one line in this chat, so like I could see the top of the pencil moving a little bit. If you want to have your questions answered on the Power Gold podcast, we haven't had questions for quite a while here, but you can always send those to powerwordgold@gmail.com, or you can send MP3s if you'd like to have your voice heard to the nigh on hundreds of people that likely listen to this podcast.
I listened to it 3 times, so that's like 3 listeners.
Awesome. Actually, surprisingly, I didn't realize this until just this last time I was putting up a podcast, but there's actually, I don't know if it's plays on the specific, like, the embedded player as well, but every archive.org page for audio has a counter at the bottom that shows how much it's been played. So apparently our last episode, episode 22, has been played or downloaded 891 times. So that's pretty freaking cool. Some of them are actually over 1,000, I think, but the older ones most likely. So 891 times, that's pretty crazy to think about, Faye. Did you realize that people had listened to you 891 times?
That's awesome.
All right. Well, I think that is going to wrap it up. We are. Oh, sorry. So I lost train of thought. So send in your questions. Go ahead, Faye. Do you want to talk? Do you want to go ahead and let them know how they can find your writing, get a hold of you, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah. Once again, it's nerffades.blogspot.com. Twitter is Fadetastic. First YouTube channel, which is gold making specific, is Fadetastic as well. And then my other general WoW and other games channel is Fade Plays, also on YouTube. And I assume these are all going to be in the show notes, so you don't even have to worry about how to spell it.
Unless you're listening on the treadmill, which I need to get back in the habit of going to the treadmill. Ever since I started working, I haven't been getting back to the treadmill. So, all right, Gimp, how can people get a hold of you, find out what you're doing, besides top secret stuff that can get you killed if you know about it?
Well, you've got Twitter, which is Gimp's Gold. So I'm more active on there than anywhere else, I think, at the moment. You've got my YouTube channel, which is Spec, which is SPEC1704. There's a few videos about add-on setting up and things like that on there. Again, watch that space as well. Lots of watching spaces. I need to actually put stuff out. You then got my website, which is gimpsgold.com, and my email is gimp@gimpsgold.com. You can also, if you can find me in-game, which a few listeners to this podcast have actually tracked me down and found me on the EU side. I'm not going to tell you my server or anything, but if you can find me, feel free to wish me, and I will happily chat to you. But I'm not going to tell people where I am. You've got to find me. It's the fun.
You've got to come to US so you can run 5 mans with Flux and I. It'll be awesome.
Yeah.
But then I need to pay for a new account. if any people got that like free account thing for US, where it's like the original game and TBC, and want to give me that, they're more than welcome to.
It is almost Christmas. Is Gimp, come on.
Gimps. I'll get the expansions myself, but if anyone wants to give me those 2 cards.
Awesome. Well, there's the plug out there. If you want to find me and you don't already now, see? Let me
find us.
Yes, if you want to find us, it's cuz I went to the segue wrong.
Yes.
You can find yes. They needs to read our blogs. you can find us at powerwordgold.net. We're on Twitter at powerwordgold, facebook.com/powerwordgold. And actually, there's one last little thing here. We redid our Cafe Press site. You might have noticed if you've been to our blog lately that we have a nice pair of boys briefs, women's boys briefs, or panties, I guess, if you can call them that, but they're technically not. The heft, the word Powered Gold emblazoned across the back, plus hoodies, stickers, magnets, iPod cases, or not iPod, iPhone cases, and t-shirts and trucker hats, and they're all on our Power Word swag. So if you want to support the blog, aka the people behind the blog, aka the person behind the blog, aka me, and you want to donate, you don't actually need to just donate. You can donate if you want straight up. That's fine. I'll accept all donations with the nice red, shiny, candy-like donate button that's on the top of our blog. But
there's one on my site as well.
There's one on Fade. And if you want to give money to Fade, you could just send it to me, and then I'll honestly, I'll just forward it on to her.
No, turn off ad block and just go to my site a lot, but not too much because it might get me banned from AdSense. I feel bad. Like, on the last episode, I was like, I don't monetize my blog. And then within like 2 days, I was like, monetize blog.
Oh, I've joined the cool. I've joined the cool club with you guys on YouTube. Guess who got partnership?
Oh, nice. I don't know. So
I thought they sent that to everyone. Like my new account that I hadn't even uploaded anything got approved for that.
You can get the AdSense thing, but the actual
the monetization ability.
I don't know about in US, but like I tried before and it was like, nope, you need this many views before you can do it.
Yeah, I think that there's...
admittedly, I got tons of views on my one video because I linked it on my previous channel. So yeah, maybe that's why.
Let's see. Getting back to me, which is what's important here. No. Yeah, if you want to give Fade money, then just, you know, send it to me and I'll send it to her. But no, honestly, if you want to donate something, you can buy some items from Powered Swag Shop and I will get a little bit of that money. And then you get something in return, so you don't just go away empty-handed. So
you're already getting great gold advice. What more could you want?
How about a women's light t-shirt for $19.95?
Ooh. Well, what a great deal.
Or a trucker hat. With powered gold for $14.99. There's all kinds of options on there. And actually,
mouse mats?
Yeah, mouse pads for $12.99. So
what more could you want?
And actually, the iPhone cases, I have to say, actually turned out pretty dang awesome. They're not, most of them is just the logo, but go check out the iPhone cases. They're pretty cool. We got it for the 3G and for the 4. We got two different versions for the 4. So, and I think that's go read the Powered Gold Chronicle. Actually, the guide and the chronicle both got new URLs. So, well, the guide got a new URL. It is a lot easier to understand. So, no PWG guide free, blah, blah, blah. It is guide.powerwordgold.net. And we actually have a link to a lot of the different sections in our new improved navigation that we moved. Then the Chronicle, you can always find it at chronicle.powerwordgold.net. The Chronicle has actually got its own RSS feed, so don't assume because you're subscribed to Powered Gold RSS feed that you are also subscribed to the Chronicle. It's completely separate, so subscribe to that RSS feed as well. We are happy we got more people subscribed to it now because I don't want it show. It would. I don't want to have undermineception with like. Here's a blog post about all the blog posts, and it's posted on the end of my journal. So now you got, yo dog, we heard you like RSS feeds. So, all right, I think I'm.
Oh, also, I've got a link to subscribe to Nerf Fades RSS. It's at the top, right underneath the banner. Yeah. I didn't used to have one of those up there, so I don't know how so many people got subscribed without me having a button there. But I've got a button there now, so
got a big, go click the button. Candy like button, yeah. And there's I've seen your readership has been growing.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Except for a day, was it like zero? And I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Suddenly started hating me.
I was sad because the Power Girl Chronicle had two readers for like a bunch for like the first few days, and I was like, yay! And then like it went to zero, and I was like, oh. And then like then I noticed yours was at zero too, and I was like, oh, okay. Feed burner just must be like. Not working right now because that's a lot of unsubscribes to Fade's channel if it goes to zero. So, and if you are wanting to, or if you're thinking about starting up gold making blog, do it and then write. And then when you get 6 posts, send me your information and we will put you up on the gold blog directory. So I was just checking. Oh, yeah. See, Fade, you've only had your RSS feed up for like a week and you're already like, almost caught up to me, so.
Well, I had most of those subscribers from before I had the button. Like, I had, like, 350 when I put the button
maybe
up, and I'm
people
like, how
that
did this happen?
Maybe FeedBurner, like, auto-subscribes people that...
There's a lot of readers where you can just, like, the one I use on my iPhone, I can literally just type in a website, and it will find the feed itself.
I think FeedBurner, because it's like, tied into Google, it's tied into Google for that runs Blogger. I think they kind of have a way to... push people over to the new feed, but regardless, you're rocking the RSS feeds. So, but anyways, enough circle jerking, let's go ahead and end the show. And
I was just on Reddit a moment ago.
Did you like the comic that I sent you? I thought that was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna post a response, but it was gonna have some stuff that people on Twitter probably should not be clicking on, and I didn't want to scar you in case you've never seen the subreddit yourself.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, let us finish this up. Thanks everybody for listening. Go out there, read gold blogs, comment on people's gold blogs, make gold, and have fun. So I think that's going to be doing it for me. And you guys want to sign off? Gimp, you want to sign off?
Ladies first.
Ladies first.
Yeah, I guess Flux did already go first, so I'll go next. But this is Fade from nerffades.blogspot.com, and I was happy to once again be a guest on the Powered Gold podcast.
You're only a guest because you got here second. I would have made Gimp the guest if you were just joking. Gimp.
I'll see you all soon, hopefully. And if anyone out there makes really cool music or plays the horde and makes gold, please email me.
Please. Speaking of music, I know this. I said we're going to end, but just as a little update for those that listened to episode 22, Eberakum, who we played their music, found out that we played their music and started twittering about how we played their music in our podcast. And I added both of the people that are in that band or group onto Twitter, and so they are the first non-gold making people that I've added as a follower. And so if you want to, I think they actually started their own Twitter feed for their band, so you can find the link to Eberakum. It's eberakum.bandcamp.com, I do believe. I'm going to double check that. So yeah, it is Eberakum, eberakum.bandcamp.com. They did that really cool, like, ooh, music. I don't even know, you're going to, like, ruin it, but they're really awesome. So we'll see what shows up for the podcast this week. For those...
Did we talk about the Dark Moon Fair? That place is awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
We'll have
didn't
to get
talk
to that.
About it. We didn't talk about it.
We'll just all make really great blog posts. I can't talk because it's 3 in the morning. Really great blog posts. So you should just check out our awesome Dark Moon Fair blog posts. Yeah. Yeah, good stuff.
It's pretty good.
It was like the highlight of my night the other night. I was there right when it started, and I'm like, I want to talk about it, but we've talked so much, I don't have enough time.
We have plenty of time. If you want to, you can talk.
No, I'd go
we'll
off
save
too
it
much.
For
but
another
from
one.
A really quick though, gold making opportunity. Get the Dark Moon Fair Adventure Guide before you run any dungeons or do anything, because the items you pick up, you can sell to other players, and they want them for achievements and tickets. There. That's my gold making.
You can sell, like, the skinning, the little giblets and stuff like that?
You sell the... basically, when you have the Dark Moon Adventure Guide, you can pick up items. There's 3 that come from Battlegrounds, a bunch that come from dungeons of all levels, and 1 that comes from 85 heroics, and 1 that only comes from 85 raid bosses. But basically, they can all be sold, and they just turn in for 10 tickets once a month. But there's also achievements to turn in 1 of each. And like, I'm right now willing to pay $10,000 for anyone who can get me a treatise on tactics or something like that. So,
okay. And sell
gold making
for a little bit more. What do you call it? A little bit more humble one. You can sell simple flour in the auction house and 5 stacks for 2 gold each, for 2 gold per flour. So like $9.99 for 5 stack, and I've been selling that. So I was gonna bark it, but I decided I was too lazy to sit in there and say, "Oh, selling it." But you could probably make a little bit more if you got that. So and. Potentially, I just thought of this. You might be able to sell fishing poles because my wife is like, I don't have my fishing pole. I guess most people probably carry their fishing poles. So
and the fact there's a vendor at the end of the fair that has them.
Of people don't really realize what vendors are around there, though, because there's so many things to look at.
And if you're having trouble with the cannon, my theory is that if you have somebody guild summon you and then you shot out of the cannon and you accept the summon in the air and you get teleported to the center of the ring.
That's how I did it, and I was summoning all my friends. I had my warlock out on one account and my other character on another account, so I just needed one person at a time to help me keep the stone up, and I could do all the summons myself.
Because you two suck.
It took no, me like it took
I did
me
it first
tries.
Try.
You know,
see,
well,
the thing is, I worked for an hour to get it, and I failed. I eventually summoned myself. I went out to do the daily today, got it first try. I'm like, I hate this game, and I'm quitting. So.
The trick is to look directly down at your character and then move about 45 degrees backwards. And when your character is in the center of the hole, then turn it off and you'll fall forward and downwards at the right speed.
Well, they nerfed druid. They nerfed flight physics, and I've heard people say that they're upset about it. But essentially, you don't continue your momentum like you used to when you go out of like flight form or dismount. So essentially, you turn it into essentially a falling, which is a lot. Well, I'm not going to get into it.
You still go forward a little bit.
But not. It's as much as if you had kind of fell off of a mountain, not as if you had like been flung off a mountain at 300 speed and, you know. But anyways, that's... Can you tell it's 2:45 in the morning?
We finished the podcast about 10 minutes ago. Epic right. Ranter.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will talk to you guys later. Thanks all for listening.
Bye. Ray.
Tally-ho.
Hip hip cheerio. First off, I have to apologize. The music used in this episode of the Power Gold podcast is in Russian, and I don't speak Russian, but the music used in this episode of the Power Gold podcast includes Tvoya Igra Darugonigoya, or Your Game, A Road to Nowhere, Novolaskaya, or In the Balance, Spinina Minya, or Think of Me, Out, or Hell, by the band Kaputrehok, from the album Proja Gerzizin, or Burning Life. I don't speak Russian, apologies. Anyways, you can find more from this band, Kaputrehok, KPU3UC, by heading to www.archive.org/details/EXT021. All music was used under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. For more information about Creative Commons licensing, head to creativecommons.org. Also, the music used on this week's podcast was discovered on the Open Metal Cast, which is a podcast devoted to sharing Creative Commons metal. And that is at openmetalcast.com. Stay tuned after this song for a special bonus track by Kaputreho. Actually, I was so pissed. I was sitting in the bedroom, and I was like, oh my gosh. And my wife's like, what? And I'm like, call to auction started recording again. Damn it.
Is it?
Yeah, they recorded episode 27. I was like, damn it.
Alstrom shout out.
Hold on a second, Gimp. Babe, we can hear you.
I'm sorry. I'm so hungry.
Okay.
I'll shut up.
Do you have a mute or not?
I think I do on this new one. It's a brand new mic.
There's
so.
A button on Skype.
Реальность тебе избежать. Вспоминай меня. Мы уже.
I've been doing this podcast for quite a while now, and I look for new music every week, and it's rare that I come across music that connects with me so much as Kaputrehok did this week, so I decided to give you guys a bonus track. Enjoy.
So excited.